Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. In our scripture for this morning, there is going to be one verse that is very familiar to a lot of us. And as I discovered this morning when I was talking to the Sunday school classes, it's very familiar, but the meaning is very unfamiliar to us. Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I'd ask, as you are able, would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel. I read as follows in the name of our Lord. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. Please be seated. Now right away here we go into one of my favorite stories from the book of Numbers that Jerry read this morning in our first scripture reading, talking about how everyone was saved by that serpent on the pole. And last Wednesday night we went through that, talked about it a bit, so I think I should probably summarize that a little bit because this is a much larger crowd. During the exile from Egypt, the Israelites were going across the desert and they were complaining, having a very hard time of it. And they complained to God. So God got angry and sent serpents in there, and the serpents bit them and killed them. So then everybody got really scared and turned to God, asking for help. And God does what he always does. He helped them. He sent the message to Moses to build that brass serpent and put it on the pole. And it isn't very clear in that reading from Numbers that it isn't that serpent and it isn't that pole that does the healing. It is the power of God that does the healing. Those people just needed to believe that pole was going to do it. And God did it. Now we see right away Jesus says that just as that serpent was lifted up, he also shall be lifted up. And that isn't saying that he's going to be cast in bronze and put on the cross. It's saying that he is going to be lifted up to be the salvation of people. Through that brass serpent on the pole, God brought salvation to the Israelites, to all those that were afflicted by the serpent. Now Jesus is going to be that serpent. He is going to be that symbol. But it's not him hanging on that cross. It's not that death that he died. It's the power of God. That is how Jesus is our salvation. It's the power of God. And now we come to the most famous verse. I'm sure most of us can recite this one without even looking at it. All we need to hear is John 3:16. I remember the first time I ever saw this when I was watching a football game. And they panned across the crowd. And there's a guy holding John 3:16. I was like, wow. So, I was probably only 12 or 13 at the time. So I went and looked it up. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing for a guy to be holding in front of a crowd. I don't know, there's probably 30, 40,000 people there or something. But this guy is just holding it out there. And now from that point on, I've remembered that verse. But as I said this morning, when I was talking to the Sunday school kids, the meaning of that verse is a little more important. For God so loved the world, that would be us. That would be everyone that we have ever seen on this world. He loves all of them. He gave his only son. Because of his love for us, he gave his only son. He killed his son for us. That whoever believes in him should not perish. Now this, I don't know about you, but this takes on a whole different meaning when you look at this verse in this way. God loves you so much that he killed his only son so that you may go to heaven. I just love that verse. It shows us how loved we are. I mean, we've all done things for other people. We've all made sacrifices for other people to do something just for their benefit. And we know how hard that is. I'm sure a lot of us have put it on a scale. Is that person worth that $25, $100 that we'd have to sacrifice to help them? God loves us so much, we are worth His Son. It's humbling. It's exciting. It's everything. It's our salvation. And it goes on that God did not send His Son to condemn the world. He sent His Son so that the world may be saved. He sent His Son knowing that someday there is going to be a judgment. So He sent His Son so we would all be justified and made righteous for that judgment. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Quite simple. And this is a part that I've struggled with every time I've read this chapter. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but I'm a big softie. I want everybody to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to go to hell. And it just bugs me that there might be somebody out there that would go to hell. But after this verse, that we are told that there's going to be people going to hell, there is people out there that are going to be condemned. We are told that they have brought it on themselves. Because the light has come into the world. And rather than follow that light, those people have stuck to the darkness. And we all know what darkness is when we're talking in biblical terms. Darkness is the bad, the evil. And the light is Jesus. Jesus has come into the world, and these people, after having the light shone upon them, have rejected it. They have decided that they would rather stay in the darkness. Now this actually didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. When you start reading back in the chapter, beginning of this chapter, Nicodemus has come to Jesus. And Nicodemus has come to him in the night. Nicodemus has asked him a question. And Jesus answers the question quite clearly. Well, I guess he didn't technically ask him a question. He made a statement, and Jesus talked to him. And Jesus is having a hard time with Nicodemus, I guess. Because Nicodemus is trying to find these things out. He's asking him questions, and he's not believing him. Verse 11 of this chapter, I'll start with 10. Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Nicodemus hasn't believed any of the things that have happened, any of the miracles, any of the healings. And yet he wants to know about the heavenly things that Jesus has talked about. About being born of the Spirit and many other things. So Jesus really calls him out on this. In verse 20, Jesus says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed." Nicodemus has come to Jesus in the darkness. Because Nicodemus was a Pharisee. If he would be seen coming to Jesus and asking questions like this, he'd be in trouble. If he were actually believing in these things that he is asking about, he would come in the light. And that's said in verse 21. "Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Now, some of you may be thinking that this is a stretch. But I'll tell you this, I'll give you a little example. You can see what I'm doing right now. Am I doing anything evil right now? No. Did I do anything evil yesterday? Did any of you see me yesterday? Yeah, that's right, you did. But if you don't see me doing anything, am I in the darkness? Or am I in the light? I'm going to do something evil, where am I going to be? Am I going to be up here where everyone can see me? Or am I going to be hiding out somewhere where no one can see me? Everything that we do is either evil or good. And we're not going to try and kid ourselves and say we don't do evil. But when we do evil, do we show everyone? I know I don't. There's a few good friends that I show when I'm doing evil, but other than that, not really. Makes it pretty clear. What Jesus is talking about here is that He is the light. And when we come to that light, we do what is true in the light. In the last two words of this portion of Scripture, are some of the most comforting words there is. Because we know we can't do good on our own. We know that everything that we want to do, 9 times out of 10, is bad. And we know that we want to go to this light. We know it's going to be a struggle. We know it's going to be hard to do it. But the last two words here tell us how we can do it. In God. The works that we do have been carried out in God. That is the only way. Otherwise, even if we are doing good things, most times we're doing them so we can get some sort of reward. But in God, we can do everything out of pure love for everyone around us. Because God so loved us that His Son died for us. Now we can go out and share that love with everyone around us. Because God is in us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would guide that word to our hearts, that you would let it hit us however you need it to hit us, Father. Father, we ask that you would be with all of us through this coming week, that we may be lights unto the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now humble your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift His countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.